Blog Talk Radio.
I see the morning coming in your eyes. Jubilee. It's shining brighter than the sun in the sky. Jubilee.
I hear your joy bells ringing in your voice.
Jubilee.
Your kind of singing is cutting through the noise.
Jubilee. Oh,
to the Real Talk for Real People study show. Show that we are dedicated to the LOM, y'all. A show that tells history, even from the very beginning, Bereshit. Some of you call it Genesis, but the Hebrew name for in the beginning of Yah's mind. We try to tell you the story not only in the beginning of Yah's mind, but his day-to-day existence, according to his people, his heritage, his nation. Israel. We try to give you a bird's eye view, a critical analysis, an accurate story, no cross-contaminated version, nothing with the new thing, because Yah's word is timeless. You don't need anything new. Yah's word is forever. That makes it timeless, right? We try to cross every T and dot every I, and further, we implore you to continue in your studies and burn the midnight oil. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. We're about to begin again in Bereshit, the 8th chapter. And in this book, this 8th chapter, you will find out the writer of the book, but Noah exercised wisdom and understanding. How do I know that? His action are predicated upon him when his ship came to rest. Some of us simply think that I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I don't need to exercise wisdom and understanding. I can do things however I want to, whenever I want to, howsoever I want to. Well, you would have sunk in a mud hole because you didn't exercise wisdom and understanding. You need wisdom and understanding to understand the Elohim. You need wisdom and understanding and practicality in your day-to-day life. That's why we bring these things to your attention. They're essential to you, physically, spiritually, and mentally. It's true. We share these in our studies, too. And perhaps you're wondering, Yom Sufah Weave, who are the we you're making reference to? Let me take a sip of this water my wife brought to me. Thank you. Esau? Well, Cartrell from New York City. And Sister Yehudi, not Sister Yehudi, Sister Aviat, my apologies. I don't want no trouble, Sister Aviat, from New York City. And rightfully so, you should ask, who are they? Well, I'm not looking for a PhD, a doctor of divinity, a doctor of theology, a bachelor's degree. I'm just looking for men and women with wisdom and understanding, whom love the Most High with all their hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and their brothers and sisters as themselves. That's all I'm looking for. And they are the epitome of that. They love the Most High, as I say, with all their hearts, mind, soul, and strength. And they love you as they love themselves. Me? They ain't going to do nothing to you that they want done to them. They ain't going to treat you no way than the way they want to be treated. They ain't going to mistreat you, abuse you, and dominate you because they don't want to be treated like that. And most importantly, they love the Elohim. That means they are obedient. They are obedient to the word of Yah. They allow Yah's footstep to be their pathways to wisdom and understanding. That's all I need to know. If it's good enough for Yah, the Elohim, it's certainly good enough for me. Let me bring them on and introduce them to you. Sister Aviyah, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family, and all praises and glory to Yah. And it's good to be back as always. Although those people wore me out up there in the supermarkets, like a jungle up there, man.
Like a jungle, so that made me thinking like I'm going under.
That's right. You had to fight your way out of there.
Yeah. All right. Long as you made it back. Long as you made it back, that's a good thing.
I'm back.
Good to have you back, sister. Now, Brother Contrail from New York City, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Hey, shalom, shalom, family. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How y'all doing? Good to hear your voices.
Doing okay, brother.
Good to hear yours, too.
Yes. Praise Yah. Another day of living.
Praise Yah.
You was right about Noah, but we know that Noah walked with the Most High, right?
Exactly.
In order to walk with the Most High, you have to know wisdom and understanding. So it goes hand in hand. In order to walk with Yah, you must know wisdom and understanding. And
exactly.
You don't need no PhDs, like you say, because we wish that more PhDs were teaching what we're teaching or showing and examining what we're showing.
Praise Yah, Katrina.
Praise Yah. Sister Abia, you a lioness in that jungle, mama. You a lioness, baby.
Yeah, I made it through there.
Yep, she made it through. Because you
that
know she'd
with help of Yah. With the help of Yah, you got me out of there.
Yeah, because she had called. We had spoke because she wanted you to cover for her in case she was running late. But praise the Most High, she made it back on time.
All right. As long as she had the roar on the bottom.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, contrary to Stavia, fellow students and student land, we're ready to get busy. Let's show you how practical Noah was. He wasn't presumptuous. He didn't overreact. He didn't act irrationally. He acted methodically, scientifically. He acted with wisdom and understanding. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Then Yah remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were in the ark. And Yah made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped. Stopped raining. The water from the deep stopped coming up. And the rain from heaven was restrained. The waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the water decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month. The 17th day of the month was on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah finally opened the windows, that window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven which kept going to and fro until the water had dried up from the earth. He also set out for himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the earth. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her feet. And she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. He waited yet another 7 days. And again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening. Behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah then knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited his practical state of mind. So he waited with wisdom and understanding, waited yet another 7 days. He wasn't even thinking about him. He was thinking about those animals too. And sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. It came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark. You know, I was mistaken. You know, when I said about that door, well, obviously there was another accessibility to that, the covering of the ark. And I'm thinking, is that covering the door? Or it's a top removable item. Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, indeed, the surface of the earth was dry. So if it's a top removable object and it's not that door, we're going to come upon it. It's going to clear itself up. Noah could have let some people in. But here's the deal. Noah was obedient. Indeed, the surface of the earth was dry, and in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry, finally. Then Yah spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife, your sons, and your son's wife with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, bird, cattle, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, his sons, his wives, his son's wife with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. Yah's covenant with creation. Then Noah built the altar. As he came first to the Elohim, how we ought to be. And any day in our life, the Elohim should come first. Then Noah built an altar to the Elohim and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offering on the altar. And the Elohim smelled a soothing aroma. Then Yah said in his heart to himself, I will never again curse the ground for man's. I will never put this ground through this for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time will continue, and harvest will continue. Cold will continue, and heat will continue. Winter will continue. Summer will continue. All day and night will continue. It shall not cease anymore because of what I did to mankind, because of his wicked imagination from his youth. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Katriel, Sister Abby, y'all have the mic, fellow students. Listen up.
I thought it was pretty interesting that he sent out the raven first,
yeah.
And the raven never came back, which means that the raven is a scavenger, so he probably was feasting on the body.
Oh, you already know. You already know. He was in raven heaven.
And so far as the dove that he sent out, they usually show a picture of a dove with an olive branch, right? And that's supposed to be the symbol of peace.
Right.
But what we do is that the dove, she didn't take an olive branch. She took an olive leaf,
exactly.
Which is much different from a branch.
Exactly.
And she came back and found a resting place. Go ahead,
I said, get it right, Katria. Get them right. It wasn't up.
Yeah,
it
wasn't. Things that we take for granted,
right.
That we, you know, are studying and teach ourselves what the truth is.
Exactly.
It says the dove came back at him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. And Noah knew that the water was abated from the earth. He knew that the trees were growing and being restored. Because, you know, in floods and storms like that, water takes out everything, uproots and moves everything. Most High showed him that, you know, everything wasn't uprooted, things were growing. But he was wise enough to wait even more time, like you said. Because when the ground is saturated, you can't move in mud and the muck and the mire. You got to wait for that thing to dry. So he waited.
Mm-hmm.
That covering on the ark, maybe it was a tarp. I don't know. That's the first time I'm seeing it mentioned in the building of the ark, or, you know,
right,
the longevity of it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was some kind of tarp that he put on top so that the wood would be preserved from the rain. I don't know.
I don't know neither, Godreel.
Speculation.
Speculation.
So it's funny how it starts, though. Chapter 8 starts like this. Yah, I remember Noah and all the animals and all the livestock that were, that were with him in the ark. Wait a minute. Most of I forgot about him for a minute. maybe he had other projects he was dealing with.
Yeah. Oh, man. I forgot Noah.
It's just peculiar to me. But that's just an observation.
Mm-hmm.
But the Most High promises that his creation is going to go on forever. He said, what I created is going to go on. I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, because man upset me to the point where I want to blow the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the imagination of man's heart, which I gave him freedom of choice, is evil from his youth. I will never again strike every living thing. Why should I strike every living thing for man? Because what man did, as I have done, while the earth remains, which it will forever, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night will not cease. It ain't no big deal. Y'all put it all in order, and he's going to keep it in order. That's what he's telling us. Praise
exactly.
God.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Any notes or commentary, Sister Abigail?
No, I'm good. Y'all got it all out there.
Okay. Say no more. As these young folks said, say less. Okay. Well, Sister Abigail, you're coming upon an important chapter for our women folk. And I'm happy you're here to share it with them. And us here to help you break it down. Like they're 4 years old, although they're not, don't take it personally. All right, Abigail, the 31st chapter of Proverbs. I don't know where y'all heading to from here, but I know y'all get there, whether it's the Songs of Solomon, the Ecclesiastes, or whatever, but I know y'all get there.
Chapter 31, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him.
Do you know who that is?
And he's a son. Jechadiah, something like that.
No, that's a nickname that King Solomon's mother called him. Lemuel.
Who's his mother?
Bathsheba.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Get a gold star.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take a correction on my poster.
I want my donuts. I want my donuts, Cartrell.
Huh?
You said I get a gold star. Don't donuts come
you
with
want
that?
A donut?
Yes, some donuts.
Gold Star says come with donuts. Sorry.
Oh, okay. My bad.
What, my son? And what? The son of my womb? And what? The son of my bow? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Now that reminds me of Samson and his lot stuff when he cut his hair.
Actually, the first advice his mother gave him was the most sound advice he should have took.
He didn't take it.
No, 700 wives and 300 concubines. No wonder he wanted to dwell on the rooftop and in the desert land. Getting away from the contentious women.
They run him crazy.
Yeah, man.
Oh, boy.
Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it.
He sure ain't listened to Sergeant Mom, did he?
He should have.
It is not for kings. Oh, Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Lest I drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. You get drunk and off that stuff and make the wrong judgment. That's just like you do today. You drink too much, you make the wrong decision.
But there's time and place for some people, which is give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. If you're bitter of heart, get your little wine. And not you, Sister, you made a vow. For others, and be happy. And to those who are bitter of heart.
So his mother is wise in that she knows that the king must stay sober, right?
Right. Exactly.
Everybody else can get drunk and stupid. The king must stay what? Sober.
Sober.
Yes, indeed. You read 6.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm gonna share 7, 8, and 9, and I'm gonna let you share the virtuous wife. Let him drink and forget.
Okay, you go ahead.
Yeah.
I'll pick up when you finish.
Okay, let him drink in verse 7 and forget his poverty. And remember his misery no more, because he needs a strong drink, or she. Open your mouth. And then we're supposed to open our mouth for folks can't talk for themselves. Don't you know that? When y'all see people doing something to folk, open your mouth for the speechless and the cause of all who are appointed to die.
So this is specifically for the king.
For the king.
Yeah. The king,
for the king.
Has to speak for those who don't have a voice. So
right.
The king has to search out those who are not being heard.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He has to speak their voice, huh?
Right. He has to be the voice for the speechless. And in the cause of all who are appointed to die. If you're on a judgment and you're appointed to die and you're on death row, the king's supposed to speak for you.
Kind of like Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yes.
Ooh.
Open your mouth. Judge righteously. And plead the cause of the poor and needy. That's a hell of an individual.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that here. But our king's supposed to do that for us. Praise God.
If our king did that for us, we wouldn't be in the situation we are in now.
You better believe it.
You know our king. We read about our king. We studied the history of our king. All of them missed this mark, didn't they?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They were too busy drinking.
Maybe.
Chasing women and drinking. But they forgot the law.
Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband Stuart safely trusts in her, so that he shall have no need of spoils. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Go ahead.
No, we're listening.
The basis of relationships is trust. When you say husband, her husband does what? Trust her. He ain't worried about her. He ain't paranoid. He ain't following her around. He ain't looking at her cell phone. Right?
Yeah,
trust her.
She leaves him no reason to.
That's right.
But he doesn't try to rule over her like she's his slave.
No.
But she has her freedoms, and we'll see.
No, because this woman is a businesswoman also. She's like a merchant. She brings her food from afar. She also rides while it's yet night and provides food for her household. A portion for her maid servants. She considers a businesswoman and buys it in the interest of her family. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. She's still moving and grooving. She grows her strength with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her lamp does not go out by night. She's burning the midnight oil. She stretches out her hands into the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She's concerned about the poor. Yes, she stretches her hand to the needy. She's concerned about the needy. And she is not afraid of snow because she's got everything in decent and order. She got everything ready for them. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She's ready. So, Zavia, I do apologize for intruding.
Yeah, that's quite okay.
But you can take up on verse 22.
She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple.
She know how to dress.
She properly dressed, not half messed up with her.
Yes.
Her husband is known in the gates.
You know why he's known at the gate? You know why he's known at the gate? She got that boy stressed out. She got him clad. Boy, that boy clothed on that. He's sharp. Everybody know he's sharp. Go ahead. She got it. She got it. She got him on the point, Abby.
Yeah, but she don't have, she won't, the woman supposed to stand by and let her husband go out there and look in any kind of way.
You must not be talking about these modern women.
our women are more college educated. They make more money. They hold down the household. It's we are the ones that's out of step.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because we ain't providing nothing for them. Our enemies set them up lovely, don't they?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So this husband has set his wife up lovely so she could do her thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why he looking like that.
Mm-hmm.
He set her up lovely.
She ain't marrying no fool, trust me. She's marrying a wise, God-fearing man.
Right.
That's why he's known in the world.
Right.
Yes, indeed. She make it finding and sell it safe. And deliver girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come.
I like that. I like that. You know why I like that? Her stripper clothes is not her clothing. Strength and honor are her clothing. She has honor She has strength and honor because she's cognizant of what she wears. That's wisdom, and that's predicated upon wisdom and understanding. She don't just wear it because it's fashionable. It's a fad.
Mm-hmm.
So such.
And the thing is,
yes.
That statement is for every generation of the daughters of Zion. Not just that one, but every generation.
Right.
What does it say about her time to come? What's going to happen?
She'll be joy.
Okay. That's every generation. Y'all got to have that same virtue.
Mm-hmm. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness.
Yeah, well, see, our women need to learn how to, and our men need to learn how to be a whole lot more kinder. And kind to each other, kind toward needy people, kind toward children. We don't have the law of men and women because we are monstrosity. We think the law of running your mouth off, saying anything you want to say, however you want to say it to one another. But wisdom is educating you how you should comport and conduct yourself with your mouth. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
A law of kindness.
And that's the thing I said. Most of them that's popping off like think they're already wise, and they haven't studied wisdom. You have to study wisdom, because wisdom teaches you to control yourself.
Right. Well, they're wise fools in their own eyes. I guess they are, according to their own precepts, but not according to wisdom and understanding. They're not the least wise and talking.
Otherwise, they would be kind of, wouldn't they?
Right. They would be if they followed and was obedient to Yah. And wisdom and understanding, they would be much more wiser. And people would be beating the doorway, beating the pathway to our sisters and our brothers if they had the law of kindness on their tongues. Ain't nobody trying to beat a pathway to our doorways because we don't know how to talk to folk. We don't know how to talk to one another. We are a monstrosity. And the only way we're going to get out of that predicament is exercising wisdom and understanding, which is virtually Yah's first creation.
She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praised her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Elohim shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hand, and let her own work praise her in gates.
Praise
Yah. I agree.
Yeah. Because so, you know, anybody can be charming. It's deceitful. Beauty, it comes, it goes. You're not going to look like that fine mama jama you used to look like. But what is virtuous about a woman, the inside beauty, the inside innate nature of her, is much more pleasing to the Elohim and would be pleasing to her husband and family, the innate beauty of her. Like I said, charming. Anybody can charm people, but that's superficial. And as I said, beauty, it comes and goes. But when you can be an old, beautiful person, or you can be an old, ugly person.
That's what I said. It's what's in your heart
that's
counts.
What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Beauty is only skin deep.
Right. Like I said, I'm going to say this again for the fellow students. You can become old and ugly. Or you can become old and beautiful. Virtuous.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on which one you want better.
So you left off the second part of the beautiful verse. Verse 30.
Okay. Right.
Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears Yah, she shall be praised. That's the whole key right there. Women that fear Yah women and men that fear Yah, Noah feared Yah, and he followed Yah's commandments. It's for men and women to fear Yah, and that's where you get your praise at, by being a loyal and faithful servant to the Most High. Reverence Yah, being praising, and you'll get the fruits of your hands because you'll be in lockstep with the Most High's plan. Your works are going to show whether you have been a fearful woman of Yah or not. So the works of your hand are going to tell whether you are a God-fearing woman or you're something that tried to appear to be a God-fearing woman.
Exactly. Just charming, but no innate nature. It's not
beauty ain't going to get you over with Yah. And being deceitful, because the heart is deceitful above all things. Oh, I love Yah. Look how pretty I am. I got to make it into, did you really feel Yah? It's about you.
Because your looks is not the basis for your relationship with the LOM. Your charm is not the basis for your relationship with the LOM or anyone else for that matter.
And he clearly spells out what a virtuous woman should be. She modern cavemen think women should be. And we didn't treat our women like barbarians like they do in the Middle East today. Our women had a lot of freedom.
Just like my wife and I were talking about that white boy that murdered his wife, obviously. The woman didn't weigh 114 pound width. And what kind of person does that? You know, the way you treat women. What kind of person does that, Cartier?
The seed of Cain, brother. The seed of Cain. And we picked up their habits.
Yeah. Caveman mentality. Me and my wife, she said, somebody on her job. He did the very same thing. Shot her in front of her baby. Real monstrosity.
Guns are so prevalent in this country. They just showed a little baby boy, 6 years old, walking in the hallway with a 45 Gat.
Yes, I saw that.
You saw that?
Yes, I saw it. When
it looked like he was about to shoot himself in the head.
And his father will claim he didn't know the gun was in there. Now, you know that one.
They said the little boy pulled the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And aimed it at a lady.
Yeah. They said it was a good thing there's no bullet in that thing.
It's just getting worse and worse. We just read about a first grader who shot his teacher with a gun to school. How you send your child to school with a gun?
Mm-hmm.
A first grader.
Mm-hmm.
What is the world coming to? But those are just signs of the times, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Carter, you talking about that little baby, a little toddler that was walking in the hallway, pointing at folks, knocked on folks, door, they opened the door, he pointed at, you know, if the gun, a chamber was in that bullet, and that gun, he'd have shot somebody. And the police go to the door, and, you know, this is your little boy? Yeah. I've been sleeping. He said the little baby had a gun. No, he didn't. I don't bring weapons. My cousin, when he be mental, feeling mental, you know, sometimes he bring up in him. But no, sir, revolve. I didn't have no weapon. But the officers were leaving. The lady said, hold on, that baby had a gun. Here's the evidence. Good little baby boy. Knocking on folks down. The police shot back up in there. And guess what? They looked all around. They couldn't find a little baby boy pointing it out. He's right over there. He's right over there. See, you can't let people, little babies, mess with grown folks' stuff because for some innate reason, and I'm glad they're like that when they're so little like that, they follow instructions. They follow law enforcement officers. That little baby pointed right where the gun was. They took it right on down.
Yes, indeed.
Crazy.
But you know what? Also, if that had been one of our times, they would have went in shooting. They wouldn't even gave him a chance to say he didn't have a gun or whatever.
You saying they would have shot the little baby boy?
No, I'm talking about when they went to the house with the father.
Okay.
What are you saying, Sister Abby? If it had been one of us, it wouldn't have been a technical. It wouldn't have been.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because they'd have tore up the house, busted over everything. Believe
that's
it.
What I'm talking about. They'd be quick drawing a draw with us.
Right. That was an interesting study session we had, especially about knowing that canopy. We couldn't figure out what that canopy was. And some things not for you to figure out. If y'all want you to know, he let you know. So if we're in the dark about it, because the Elohim wants us in the dark about it, and if he wanted to be enlightened, he would enlighten us further on it. And as far as the wisdom and understanding and our women are concerned and our men alike, we are monstrosity. Let's be honest about that. But the only way we can get away from that monstrosity is following the wisdom and understanding. Become the project that the Most High wanted you to be. And the only way you can become the project that the Most High wants you to be is stop being who you want to be. You are not working for you. You're working on you. Yah and wisdom is working for you. If you want to be better, just like they say in Alcoholics Anonymous, which is, they said about the definition of insanity, which we are, an insanity, a monstrosity. If you want to stop being an insane person, a monstrosity, stop doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Try using wisdom. Try using understanding. Most importantly, try using Yah. Praise Yah and bless his holy name.
Don't think it's only supposed to be a versus woman. A man could be a versus man also.
Absolutely.
And we certainly can do it.
Because a lot of times they think it's just the way it's reading, the way some might read it is just that it's supposed to be the woman that's versus. But a man is supposed to be proper to the person, the versus man also. Searching out for Yah, doing Yah's work, providing, be a provider and all that. So it goes both ways.
Well, she started off admonishing him about drinking and chasing women. So she's been expecting to him to be a virtuous king, and he must look for a virtuous woman.
That's why I said it goes for both, the men and the women.
You're right. But here's one of the problems day in lies for us, Sister Abby and Brother Cartrell, fellow students. We've come to the monstrosity for the men and women we're dealing with. And when we come into relationships, because of a continual usage of monstrosity, we have a tendency to bring the monstrosity with us. And sometimes you can't see a virtual man and a woman because you're bringing that toxicity and poison from the relationship you've been in. And if a virtuous man or woman fell in your lap, you wouldn't even know what it was anyway. That's why these studies are imperative. That's why these studies are needed. So you'll know what a virtuous man and a woman is. Because all men and women are not the same.
That's right.
Yeah, but you become accustomed, you become used to, and you come with the preconceived notion, oh, she's like that, he's like that. Well, that's something entirely different. Praise God.
Yes, praise God.
King Lemuel's mother was trying to warn him of the two powers that women use. First, they'll use deceit. Then they'll use beauty.
She told him.
He said,
she
look
gave
for
me.
Your, King Lemuel's mother was trying to tell him, look beyond deceit and look beyond beauty. What you need to look for in a woman is this virtue, right?
Wisdom and understanding gave us the characteristic of this woman. It's all laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Or this man.
I thought about that. I thought about the covering for the ark, Yamsu.
Okay.
When Adam and Eve found out they was naked, what did y'all do?
Cover them with fig leaves.
They covered themselves with fig leaves. Y'all
right.
sewed them clothes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's right.
So,
that's right.
So how is it possible for Noah to cover the ark? Because he was locked inside. Y'all
right.
closed the door, and he put a cover over it.
A cover. Over the entire ark?
Probably.
Okay.
Or where the window was. Where it came up.
Now, where that window was, that probably was like a covering over that. And so when he horses himself up and removed that covering,
I don't think he removed the covering first. I don't know.
Well, you know, when he opened that window, he had to remove that covering. Then let the birds, you know, in and out. Then he replaced the covering, then shut the window. I can see it. Around, because when he hoisted himself up and looked out all around about out of that window, he could see everything. Okay. All right. We talked. That stands to reason what Cartier mentioned, the covering. Yeah. All right.
Just speculating. I don't know.
Don't say, yeah, we told y'all that what it is, okay? We're doing theoretical study, okay? And y'all need to do it too with us. Cartier, Sosavia, I want to thank you again, both of you, for the tireless work you put in for the LOM and for these students. You don't get paid for it. And I know they should know that it's a labor of love. And that means more to me and this show and the LOM than anything. I mean, searching after riches. They're not searching after riches. They're searching after truth, and they're sharing that truth with you. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Thank you, Cartier. Thank you, sister.
Yes, sir. They say when you love the things you do, it's not really work.
I get with it. I get into it. If you love something, you get into it. Yeah, you get into it.
Yes,
Cartier, also savvy. Yeah, I want to make some closing remarks and your shalom's and good nights.
I'm just going to say, obey Yah and always praise Yah, and shalom and good night, family. Love you all, and may Yah bless us all.
May Yah bless you too, sister.
Praise Yah, what she said, and we all need to be chasing that virtue, male and female. King had to chase it. The women got to chase it. You all got to chase that virtue. It's wisdom to be able to walk with the Most High. Let's all walk with the Most High, so he'd be pleased with us, and maybe we'll have a change. Love y'all.
Praise
Shalom and good night.
Just like he said, we just lay them back and out one another because it sounds good to me.
It is wrong.
Lay them back off you. Play tag. I play tag on him.
Like I said, it's all good.
And I know she ain't feeling right because it wasn't a physical thing, a spiritual thing.
Yeah. And the same for Yamsu. And because you know why we love, we have respect and common courtesy for one another, and we sharpen one another, we push each other in the right direction, we keep each other on the track, and I hope you're doing that wherever you are. Push each other, love each other, and keep each other on the track, okay? May the Most High bless you. We love you. Shalom and good night.
Take me in like I've never been. Lead me now to your heart's chagrin.
won't you take me in? I've been there once and I'll go again, just as long as you're the one to take me in. Like a free bird circling in the wind, I'll fly to your cage so you can take me in. Oh, won't you take me in? I've seen our mothers cry within, from our fathers who refuse to call us in. But I sing my hands and nails in their skin that break.